With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll stick with Kings news. As Mike Brown made his first hire, Jordy Fernandez will be brought on as Mike Brown's associate head coach. Fernandez worked with Mike in Cleveland and on the Nigerian national team. And most recently, Jordy Fernandez was on Mike Malone's staff in Denver. I don't think that's an accident when you look at the what you believe is probably the goals of this Sacramento Kings team with Devonta Sabonis, a passing big man, De'Aaron Fox, a dynamic guard. You have a coach that worked directly with a passing big man, a big man in a dynamic guard there in Denver. And not a name that I think a ton of people know, but it seems like a solid hire, getting rounds of applause from around the league.
Yeah, now, and I forgot who it was. Forgive me if it's somebody in the chat, but they talked about they talked about Mike Brown getting his hour a day in the King. Remember, I asked for him, just do an hour a day and then go back to the Warriors. Like, do your King's job for an hour a day and then go back to work.
Mike Brown, and I think he said
getting his hour in.
I think he said in a it was our man Mark Spears. Mark Spears wrote an article about the black coaches calling to congratulate Mike Brown. Mentioned Doc Rivers and a couple of others.
Congratulations, Mike! You really deserve it.
Thanks, Doc. But he said something along the lines, you know, I'm not going to talk about the King's job yet. That's just not fair. But I'm, you know, I'm still devoting. And he said like 99.9% of my time to the Golden State Warriors. And I thought, 99. That's about Kenny's hour right there. That's Kenny. That's the hour for the Sacramento Kings for the next month or so.
Matter of fact, that's why myself and Damian got to watch all this, you know, Shaedon Sharpe film and Jaden Ivey film and, you know, Keegan and even Paolo, just in case, because we're going to do the heavy lifting for Mike so he can just talk to us once he gets done with the Warriors job. And we've already done the job for you, man. Just listen to us.
I don't think Mike is going to make the pick. I believe what you're telling everyone is that, and this is breaking news. We've been named Kings scouts. We're overqualified for the position, but we have been named Sacramento Kings scouts. So that will be our job here moving forward.
We've been named assistant general managers.
We have. Again, we appear to be overqualified for it, but that's the responsibility we take. And that is kind of an interesting. I mean, obviously, Mike's input is important in the draft, but this really does fall on Monty McNair. I wonder what the dynamic is between in selecting a player, and maybe this may not even be, you know, it's a question I think that's fair to be asked across the league, not just in Sacramento, but how much of it boils down to the general manager. And how much of it boils down to the coach? How much collaboration is done with the two? Who has final say? Like, if Monty wants someone and Mike wants someone, who has final say? The general manager, the guy who's coaching them, or the general manager whose job it is to construct the team. I would think it's the general manager, but what's the old Bill Parcells line?
Let me, if you're going to, what do you say? If you're going
to
let me,
if you want me to cook, you got to let me pick the groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said you would think it's the general manager. That's the way I would lean. Not to say that he has all the say so, but if there's a tie, I've got to be the one to make this work on the court. So let me go with what I think will be successful for me on the court. Now, like I said, that's a slippery slope. I can understand that. Like, I can understand, like, where the coach may not have that say so, but there's a little bit of a there where, like, man, come on. If I'm telling you I need this to execute my game plan and my vision for this team, you should be listening to me. Like, if you want a shooting guard, but I'm telling you, I need a small forward, this will be working. Like, it should almost be like, forget the shooting guard, go get a small forward.
Well, I think that's the other part of the conversation, too, right, with Mike and Monty, or any coach and any general manager. We'll just use Mike and Monty in this case so we can use Sacramento Kings players. But let's stick with the two names who have been the focal point of our show today, Jaden Ivey and Shaedon Sharpe. Both of them, you know, you have – I think Jaden's a two. You have Shaedon at like a two and a three.
Mm-hmm.
So
6'11" wingspan for Shaedon Sharpe.
It could be, yo, I really like this Jaden Ivey kid. What are we doing, you know, here at the two spot? Or I really like Keegan Murray, right? That there's a different position. We can use Keegan Murray. I like Keegan Murray at this four. Could really fill that position. You're Monty McNair. Like, yeah, but here's the situation with Dante DiVincenzo. You know, Dante's really pissed off at the way things went with Alvin Gentry and the way things went with us to close out the last season. So we're going to go ahead. And by the way, everything we've heard, that actually wasn't Alvin Gentry's fault. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and we're going to let Dante go be happy somewhere else, because we don't believe he's going to be happy here. We still have Terrence Davis. We think Terrence Davis is going to work out for us. And you start getting an insight into how this roster is shaping out. You start getting some insight into what Monty's doing in terms of free agency, in terms of trades, in terms of restricted free agency, all of those types of different things. And that could help. That could help shape what Mike Brown needs more. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, wait a minute. Dante's gone? Okay, maybe we need sharper Ivy more.
Right.
Oh, Dante staying? Man, that Keegan Murray kid, we fill that four position. Like, he could probably start for us out the gate at that four position, mm-hmm. have Trey Lyles playing in a little bit more, you know, limited minutes in a solid backup role. Like, we could start establishing some really defined roles for these guys if we do it that way.
All of what you said is correct.
Thank you.
Which is why I was so on the King's head to get this hire done, because you got a lot of things you need to figure out. Next thing you know, draft gonna be here. Next thing you know, free agency gonna be here.
I just want to make sure I understand correctly. Charlotte and LA still haven't hired their head coach, and you believe the Sacramento Kings didn't move fast enough.
Yeah, Charlotte and the Lakers don't have as much to worry about. Charlotte re-signed Miles Bridges, try to trade Hayward, shed a little salary. But other than that, you got your guys.
You're good. I'd argue the Lakers got some things to figure out.
Lakers do have some things to figure out. But
not my problem, but they've got some things to figure out.
Lakers do have some things to figure out. So, yeah, maybe they need to do a better job of speeding up the process. But, yeah, man, this is part of, like, what I'm talking about. Like, you got a lot of things that you got to work out, a lot of little nooks and crannies that you got to figure out between the coach and the general manager. Now you got this number four pick. You got to figure out which way we want to go with that. It's a lot going on, man. They're good right now, though. They're good. They made the hire. Everything's in place. Mike Brown is doing his hour a day. And by the way, that was Mrs. Mac 10 who said that. Shout out to Mrs. Mac 10, who acknowledged that Mike Brown was doing his 1 hour a day that I've been asking for.
And as Miss P said, they have to figure out how to get Buddy. So we can help our man Avery Johnson out a little bit. We got to figure out how to get Buddy here and get him to Los Angeles so he's happy and Mr. and Mrs. Avery Johnson can ride with that. Good call there from Miss P in the chatty house over on youtube.com/ESPN1320. Yeah, at this point, I mean, having seen this stuff on like a different level, at this point, you know, the Kings are just doing what we're doing, right? Like, like they're just the you know, the difference is they're calling coaches, like they're calling what's Coach Painter, Matt Painter,
yeah.
They're calling and talking to him mm-hmm. about Jaden Ivey. They're calling anyone associated with Shaedon Sharpe, Keegan Murray, some of these different guys. They're calling those guys and talking to them. We're just here. They're going through film just like we are. They're weighing the pros and cons just like we are. They're having group discussions with their people. We're having group discussions with the Chatty House. It's the same thing, and they're going to be doing that for weeks upon end. Now, at some point, and I started this week. Oh, yeah, the big announcement, I think. It started this week. Workouts. Mm-hmm. They actually get to see these guys work out in yeah. person. They get to put them through workouts. So,
well, they got the combine going on as we speak. Been going on for mm-hmm. the last couple of days. Everybody's in Chicago. I don't know. I know these players, these prospects are having interviews. I don't know how those are set up, if it's a bunch of GMs there or whatever, but interviews are being had. And you know what, Damien, I just thought about it. We got phones too. Yeah, we can do what Monty's doing.
Let's do it. ain't nothing but to do. You know, we work the – before you know it, the Purdue coach is going to be on like three different radio stations this week. Jesse, let's get our college basketball book out. Let's call some of these coaches. Charlie, if you're listening, let's call some of these coaches and we'll get them on the line and we'll get the at some point, you know, Danny in San Francisco, let's get the parents on. Let's get Jaden Ivey's mom and dad on.
No, that was a hit when he did that. Introduced us to Mr. Halliburton, who I don't think he listens to us anymore.
No,
probably
he,
not.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He probably doesn't. But he was always wonderful with us. That was a weird night. The night Tyrese was drafted and Danny in San Francisco. Yeah, I think that was 8 hour show number one. And Danny in San Francisco gets in the chat and says, "Hey, we're going to talk to Tyrese Halliburton's dad in a few minutes." Really? Oh. Okay, like, oh, and it was the best.
Yeah.
It was
yeah,
the
best. Mr. Halliburton
best.
Is that dude, man. He's that dude. And then you got a chance to meet him. I never met Mr. Halliburton, but you got a chance to meet him.
Well, that's because I was on the concourse, and you were down in the VIP areas, you know, talking with you. You were probably talking to De'Aaron Fox at the time, or getting a drink with Drake or Jamie Foxx or Patrick Willis, whatever celebrity was here that night. I was just up in the concourse. It was just me and Bryce. We were hanging out talking, and Mr. Halliburton walked over and said hello, and he enjoyed the show. He always thought we were fair to Tyrese and we're fair to this team. And I hated losing him. I tried to. It's like if we got to do we have to trade Mr. Halliburton? Like, can we just trade Tyrese? But that's
one
just
of these days we'll talk to Mr. Man. Halliburton again.
Yeah, it's probably a fresh. That's tough. Yeah. I mean, you're a.
Well,
second year player in the league, you think you've found a home for the next
at least eight
potentially
years.
Like 8 years, yeah. And all of a sudden you're headed to
we'll talk to Mr. Halliburton before the NBA Finals, Kings Pacers
NBA Finals, yeah. Yeah.
One of these things are going to happen.
It's going to be titled like The Last Laugh.
Oh, can you imagine what would be a more intense finals, Kings Pacers or Kings Pistons?
Oh, wow.
Even though Marvin's a free agent, he might not be on the Pistons, but just work with me.
I'd say Kings Pistons. Because if it's Kings Pacers, didn't everybody win?
No, well,
like if the Kings and Pacers are playing in the NBA Finals, doesn't everybody win?
You're a rational thinking person. So, yes. But there will be the irrational people will be like, say the Pacers lose. We should have got rid of De'Aaron instead. We would have had a championship by now. Tyrese brought them a championship.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think Pistons, Kings, with Big Marv and Golden One Center. Hell, Big Marv right. and Little Caesars sitting. Oh, man.
Yeah. Jesse, oh, man. Jesse said we might get episode 2 of the Halfway Decent Podcast if we get Pistons versus Kings. That's the funny. That is the funniest thing about that podcast is they did one just to do that and then left. Like,
that was so stupid.
Started a podcast and a podcast channel, did that one episode to just say whatever they had to say without actually saying the Kings and moving along.
That was so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Dream scenario here from Josh C. If we get a Kings versus Lakers Western Conference Finals after Buddy signs with the Lakers, then we could head into the Kings versus Pistons against Marvin Bagley.
Didn't we trade Buddy to the Lakers? Or no, we still have him. We still have
him. Buddy Hield's going to force his way out of Sacramento. Because Avery heard he wasn't happy here.
I feel like next break we need to do like hypothetical Kings Finals matchups that would have the most heat.
I'm down. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Although, we could do that.
I figured something out.
It's possible. It's possible. Y'all laugh. The Kings Pistons. It's possible. Kings Pacers. Very possible. Why, you ask? Because the NBA is rigged. That's not according to me. I'll tell you who that is according to and why this individual believes that the NBA is rigged. It happened right here in Sacramento. Frozen envelope? Nope. LeBron James to his hometown to Cleveland? Nope. That wasn't it. The clearest example the NBA is rigged was revealed right here in Sacramento. We'll explain when D'Lo and Casey. Actually, I take that back. We won't explain, but one of us will when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
D'Lo and Casey brought to you by McQueen and the Violet Fog, the smoothest gin in the world, handcrafted in Brazil. We're talking Kings here this hour. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-349-1320. We're not just talking Kings. We're talking conspiracies. We're talking the NBA being rigged. And there has been speculation about the NBA being rigged for a long, long time, whether it be the frozen envelope so the New York Knicks can draft Patrick Ewing out of Georgetown. Of course, we're all familiar with what happened in 2002 in Game 6. The LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the lottery to land a hometown hero, LeBron James. But perhaps the greatest indicator that the NBA is rigged occurred this week, and it involved your Sacramento Kings. Now, this isn't my theory, though I'd argue it makes some sense.
Look, man, I'm still going to believe in Santa Claus. I'm still going to believe in the Easter Bunny. Remember I told you guys?
They're very real.
I talk about this all the time. I got my buddy who used to tell me all sports are rigged.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he told you not to pay your mortgage.
No, or you might have told me if somebody shows you who they are, you believe them.
Nope, that's what. All right, Jimbo. All right, Jimbo. We see you.
But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. However, when the great Anjali Ranadive was announced as the assistant general manager for the Stockton Kings, and when I say great, I do mean great. Once again, thank you, Adnani. I had to thank her all day yesterday because it was her vibes that got us where we were at.
Sometimes you just be vibing out.
It's her vibes that got us that number 4 pick. So thank you, Adnani. But when Anjali was announced as the assistant general manager of the Stockton Kings, it was a firestorm. It was an absolute uproar on King's Twitter, in the chatty house, even on this very show. Everybody's like, what the hell is this? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? This is what? It's jokes, winning time jokes. You know, she wants to be genius. All this, just jokes everywhere, right? Ironically, by the end of the night, they were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
All the attention was diverted in a different direction. All the energy was gone because the Kings had the number four pick in the draft. So that's all. When you talk about Sacramento Kings, that's all anybody was focused on. That's all anybody was worried about. And I know you guys like to crack jokes about Vivek and all this other stuff. And I don't agree with some of the stuff he does. I don't know why he does some of the stuff he does. I don't get it. Some of it, I'm like, I wouldn't handle it this way. But make no bones about it. The man's not dumb. He ain't stupid. And I would think he's not like clueless. He knew. I would like to think he knew what type of reaction would come from naming his daughter out of nowhere, RKO out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
naming his daughter the assistant general manager of the Stockton Kings. He knew the reaction that was coming. He knew the negativity. He knew the jokes that were coming. When would be the perfect time to release this news? Right before the lottery that we knew we were going to move up in. I'm just saying, it's a little, it's perfect,
mm-hmm.
a little too perfect.
Mm.
And this news drops. I got Sean Cunningham's tweet at 1:13 p.m.
The lottery hadn't been done by then.
And then all of a sudden, we just forget about it. It's just gone. The Kings mysteriously get into the top four, and that takes everybody's attention.
Okay. We finally turned that "what a coinkydink" line into sound. That's good. I leave for one day, and this happens. All right, y'all wonder why I don't take time off. This is why. This is what happens to my partner when I leave for one day. Is his mind wanders, and
now I'm not complaining. Once again, thank you at Nani. You know what I'm saying? The
more likely to have brought the vibes at Nani or Devonta Sabonis?
At Nani.
Okay. All right. Broadcast journalist, just asking questions. What I do.
But yeah, it was just.
So what you believe is really, Vivek was given really the heads perfect. Up. You believe that Vivek was given the heads up. Hey, the basketball gods are. Hey, we put Luka on the table for you a couple of years ago, and you screwed it up. The basketball gods have come back and determined that you deserve another opportunity. We're going to move you up into the draft. We don't trust you enough to move you up to 3, 2, or 1. So we're going to put you at 4. We're going to expect you to do your best. And in your scenario, Vivek thought, perfect. This is the perfect day to tell everyone that my daughter is the assistant general manager of the Stockton Kings.
I'll ask you the question. Was it not? Was it not the perfect time? Is there a better time?
Would we still be talking about Vivek's daughter being the assistant general manager to the Stockton Kings if the Sacramento Kings were drafting 7? Would that still be the conversation if they were or God forbid they fell in the draft?
Mm.
Would we still be talking about, can you believe Vivek Ranadive named his daughter the assistant general manager to the Stockton Kings?
I'm telling you right now, we wouldn't even be talking about prospects.
Oh, man, cold world.
If the Kings were at 7, we wouldn't talk about prospects till the week of the draft.
Mm. We'd be talking about Ms. Ranadive being the assistant general manager for the next month.
Yeah, and it's a bad look. Why'd they name her this? And all that stuff is still true.
Would we be waiting for Sean Cunningham to film it? At some point, is she going to be coaching these players during workouts? Like, is she out there with a clipboard directing traffic? Is that what we're waiting to see?
I don't know what we're going to see from Anjali, but I know if in the news.
John's got a great point. If you got a tinfoil hat, put it on now.
I'm just saying.
Put it on now. Now's a good time.
I really think this kind of went over you guys' heads.
I mean, Jordan Meeks. Really... Jordan brings up a good point. So she's getting coffee like our friend from Phoenix. What's the big deal? I had always heard that a particular brother we know worked in the front office of the Phoenix Suns, when in reality, homeboy got the coffee for the real executives.
That's what the streets say, man. Streets say he a coffee boy, or was
it wasn't just
boy.
The street.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that if you're a coffee boy. But that's just what you were in that situation. You weren't making calls. You weren't making decisions. They say, go get me some decaf. So,
all right.
I'm just saying, man. And look, once again, I think it's all on the up and up. I don't think any of this is happening. But, man, it's pretty convenient.
It's pretty convenient. So Vivek's the luckiest dude in the city.
Gotta be.
Maybe
just a random news drop at 1 o'clock. That, oh yeah, by the way,
maybe he was like, The only way this works, I could do this now, and if somehow we could move up in the draft, no one will ever mention it again. Just because I can't, like, we can't have the lot. What if we get good news from the lottery? I can't announce it tomorrow. What if we get bad news from the lottery? I really can't announce it tomorrow. Yeah, I have to take my chances that we're going to move up in the lottery, that we're going to get some good news. And I'm going to tell everyone about the promotion of my new assistant general manager. The Stockton Kings. For now. Because Monty McNair only has 1 year left on his deal. One season left on his deal.
I hope everybody gets their contracts and they can all work together. Anjali, Monty, Wes, Paul, you know, they all play their role and they do their stuff in Stockton. Monty and them do their stuff in Sacramento, and we all work together, and it all works out. That's what I'm hoping for.
I want to talk about Davion, and because Davion was left off the all-rookie teams, but I got to point out a pet peeve. It just absolutely drives me crazy. So I got to point it out. I try not to do this often with the Chatty House, but I got to do this. Our man William. William says, Kings media is highly kiss-assy. But they have to be. I strangely understand exactly what he's saying right there. He's saying that Kings media kisses ass of the organization. I hate when people like generalize like Kings media. Because name one person on this show who covers this franchise that kisses their ass. I know you don't. Mm-mm. I don't. I know James Hamm sure as hell doesn't. I know Jason Jones doesn't. Mm-mm. So who exactly are you talking about? Because what people do is they lump it up because they're afraid to say of who they're really talking about. You're talking about the dudes on the other radio station. You're talking about the broadcast team. The broadcast team, what some of you don't realize, actually works for the team.
Right.
Of course they're going to kiss their ass. Right. They're not going to be critical of them or highly critical of them or perhaps overly critical of them. They're going to be nice and cushy and comfortable. They'll call some things out. Drapes does it well. Mark Jones does it really well. They'll call some things out. Kenny Thomas, in between some of the crazy stuff he says, he'll call some stuff out. We know Matt will.
Yeah.
So who are you talking about?
Oh, man.
Y'all fall into these generic ways of categorizing people, and it's played. You ain't going to get stronger Kings coverage from anybody than what you get here with the people who appear, not just from me and Kenny, but the people who appear on this radio show. William, we told you out the gate, 15 pounds of muscle was trash. We were the ones who told you De'Aaron got fat. We were the ones who put the pictures on the screen that showed you, look at De'Aaron on vacation and look at De'Aaron in the gym. That's not getting buff. That was us. So what are you talking about? Y'all ride these same played ass out narratives. It's tired, dude. William, you're tired. Be better.
And the other thing about that, and that's what I like what we do here, and why I take just as much exception to that as you do, is we just going to tell it how we see it.
We don't get paid by that organization.
No, we're going to tell it. And that goes both ways. Like, I think people like William just want somebody to just bash the organization. Like, I'm not going to do that. I said all the time, when people talk about 4-on-5, like, I'm sitting here like, he wasn't serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't seriously like, we'll just play 4-on-5. Like, I don't believe that. So I'm not going to just sit up here and be like, Vivek's an idiot just on all things ever. No, to me, that lends more credence than when I do have something to say about him. When I say it's absolutely ridiculous that he gave his daughter that title. That's ridiculous. It's more credence because, you know, I'm coming from a genuine place. Damien's coming from a genuine place. If we genuinely don't agree with something that happened, we will genuinely tell you our feelings on it. We're not playing a role one way or another, where we're trying to be 100% contrarian to everything that goes on, and we're not 100% cheerleaders to everything that goes on. And when we see something that we don't agree with, that we don't think makes sense, that we think is ridiculous, we're going to speak on that. When we see something that's a narrative in our eyes and from the things that we've learned, we're going to speak on that too.
I hate getting sidetracked by comments like that, but they just drive me crazy because you see it all the time, and it's just like, yo, call out who you're talking about. Who do you think is kissing the team's ass? Because it can't possibly be anybody here. Call people names. Call them out. Say what it is. Say they too cushy. That's fine. But don't lump everybody together, man, because that's played out. Davion Mitchell, unfortunately, wasn't lumped in with anybody. He was left off both all rookie teams yesterday. And that, like, I no gripe with that. Like, it's just it is what it is. But I want to use this as a chance to say, I think one of Mike Brown's most important roles this offseason, when he's devoting all of his time to the Sacramento Kings, is and perhaps, you know, Monty McNair, perhaps the upcoming draft is a big part of this as well. You've got to iron out what Davion's role is with this team next year.
Facts.
And I don't mean to harp on the line that we were using last year. We saw it a couple of times with Tyrese in and De'Aaron out. And then we saw it again with Tyrese gone and De'Aaron out, where Davion played some really good ball. Could be extended minutes, could be the group that he was with. Could be clearly defined role. I don't feel like Davion's role was ever clearly laid out. I think there are a lot of flaws in last year. If people frame the year prior as a gap year, last year was Andre Johnson's accidental gap year two.
Oh, man.
Where he's just like, I'm not going back to Howard. Like, it's just I'm dropping out of school. That's what last year was. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the big casualties of last year was Davion Mitchell. I think Davion Mitchell has all of the skills to be one of the top 10 rookies in the league. Mm. Or, you know, last year he had all of the skills to be one of the top 10 rookies in the league. I think he has all of the skills to be a very prominent player on a team that does well. Mm-hmm. But it's up to Mike Brown to figure out what to do with him, and it's up to Monty McNair to figure out how this roster fits for him. Because I'd argue, if you can't clearly define what you want from him, I'm sure he's a fine piece in a trade package for someone. Right. Much like, you know, it probably doesn't have the same upside that Tyrese does, not going to net you something like that, but he's a good player under a rookie contract that someone, I'm sure, would happily take. If you can't decide what you're going to do with that young man, figure out something else to do with him.
What would you do with Davion? And just in your opinion, I'll tell you mine first. Like, I kind of want to start him, but I'm not sure about the shot enough. Because if he's starting in the backcourt, you know, we're taking some hits. We're a little undersized. You know, I kind of think that gets overblown a little bit too, but, you know, we're a little undersized in the backcourt. And if he's not able to knock down the jump shot at a consistent rate, now I've got Fox and Mitchell that can't shoot it high enough. Now maybe Fox ups his, you know, shooting percentage, maybe Davion does, but that's what's keeping me from having him as a starting two guard, really, is the shot. I need more consistency on the shot.
So I'm with you on that and don't think Davion's the starting two. I think Davion is, barring a change in the roster, like a big change in the roster, I think Davion is the sixth man. Mm-hmm. And whether that's to spell De'Aaron Fox or you move De'Aaron off ball and bring Davion in, it probably depends on how that two position shakes out. But I think he has a clear role as the backup point guard. And in situations that I can't map out in my head because I don't know exactly what the roster would look like, I think he can close. I think he can close in a lineup that you need defense, or not even just close. I think we often, you know, go to closing because we go to, you know, winning time essentially. You could have spells during games like, yo, we need to ramp up our defense, where Davion could be out there. You could have you run a small lineup and somehow Davion is a part of that if Dante is still here. You run those three guards. It's not ideal, but you run it in short spurts. Like, I think that it works. Mm-hmm. But I think you talked about Davion shooting, and I think it was Matt Barnes who said to us, it's tough when you're not exactly sure what you're doing on it. Like, mm-hmm. you kind of force a little bit because, you know, you want to make that good impression. You want to up your minutes, and, you know, you also get a little tight because, you know, if you miss a couple of shots, you might not get back out there again. I think Davion, knowing from jump, this is your position, mm-hmm. and it's you can lose this position, but you're going to have the opportunity to lose it. Right. And you're being put in it because we don't believe that you will. Hmm. And we saw, I mean, it wasn't just Davion that they couldn't figure. We saw Terrence Davis play well, and then he wasn't playing.
Right.
We were told he was injured. Oh, no, he wasn't. We were told he's banged up. Oh, no, he wasn't. And then all of a sudden, he's playing again until he actually got injured and couldn't play anymore. Mm-hmm. It was just one of the many baffling things that happened with the Sacramento Kings and their rotations and their rosters and their use of players last year, which, again, it leads us into this year feeling blind about some things. I don't think we're blind about Davion, but I don't think we see super clearly either.
Well, I also think that it goes into what De'Aaron has alluded to a number of different times, the structure. It just seemed like there was no structure last year. Whose fault that was, I'm not here to get into all that, but it was just haywire. It was a mess. There was no cohesion. And that's going to be one of the things Mike Brown is going to have to do as well, is create structure with this team, with this roster. And to your point, with Davion Mitchell, hey, Davion, you're the sixth man. This is how I view you right now and how you best could help this team. You come off the bench. You come in with energy, with defense, offensively. You'll be leading the second unit, so you'll probably be able to kind of have a little bit of your way offensively. But this is what you should expect every night. Sometimes you might be caught on earlier, foul trouble, or whatever the case may be. But this is what I'm looking for out of you. A clear, definitive role for him. And if it changes, you let him know. You say, hey, now I need you to be the starting two guard. With the starting two guard, you're going to be more of a spot-up guy, like, on the offensive end. Defensively, I still want you to take on the lead, all this other stuff. But it's clear and concise. And I think that's going to be maybe the biggest thing for Mike Brown to do, is create the structure. That I think De'Aaron is the one that said it and it gets attributed to him. But I think all these guys feel that way. I think Davion probably feels that way. Man, just let me
wanting
know what
structure.
I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me know sure. what I'm doing. Harrison, man. Let's get some structure. Mm-hmm. Create that. Establish that that level of structure that these guys seem to be, don't mean to be too dramatic, but crying out for. They're saying it every chance they get.
You brought up Harrison. I want to ask you something about Harrison here in a second. I want to get to Chris first. 916-349-1320 if you want to chat. Chris, what's happening? Appreciate the call.
Hey, no problem. Okay, so I had a call. I'm listening, guys. Okay. And I'm just like, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because I consider myself open mind and fair. All right. But I mean, the last few days, you know, I've been listening to you guys' show. and stuff. And I don't understand this, okay? When it comes to De'Aaron Fox, all right? Now, I do not hate De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a good ball player, all right? But, like, he is being paid as a max player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're sitting here, you guys are talking about, you know, Mitchell. Now, Mitchell is a rookie. Now, he's going to his first year. Now, yes, he does need to improve on his shooting. De'Aaron Fox is a max player, all right, and he's going into his fifth year, and he has not improved on his shooting. And I'm just like, I don't understand why this, like, outlook of, like, he can't be traded, he can't be traded. Like, we have to keep De'Aaron Fox. Like, I don't understand that.
Well, I...
Yeah, I don't think he can't be traded. I don't think that's the case. I just think that I don't think that's in the cards right now.
Yeah, I think there are still a lot of Kings fans who are like, hey, look at the fourth pick and Fox get. Like, there are a lot of people who are still not sold on De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It's De'Aaron's job to prove you wrong, because if De'Aaron was, I don't even want to say if De'Aaron was playing better. I think if De'Aaron was playing more consistently, if De'Aaron was playing, you know, at the level that we have seen him more consistently, those types of questions wouldn't be coming up at all. And the reason I'm not really questioning Davion's play. I think there are a lot of great things about Davion. I'm questioning the organization more. I want to see them utilize him, because I think Davion's really – I think Davion brings a lot to the team on the court. I think he brings a lot to the team off the court. He's a fan favorite. He's a good ball player. Like, he's a guy I want to see work out. Like, I'm afraid if the Kings moved on from Davion or couldn't figure out what to do with him, he'd be one of those guys we look back at and we saw, man, that dude really – he really accomplished something when he left here. He landed in the right spot.
Yeah, as impatient as I am, I think there is an element to, and this really works with Davion, is let give this guy an opportunity to establish, you know, who he is with this franchise, get his feet under the ground in the league itself, and unless it's, you know, a no-brainer, then he shouldn't be moved. And like you mentioned earlier, give him a clear and concise role to try to excel in, you know, because we just can't keep flipping these guys. Like, we're turning into the Knicks was the team that didn't have a rookie get a second contract until,
oh man,
like last year, and Charlie Ward was the last one or something. They had some kind of weird stat about them. Like, That's amazing. We can't have that going on. The Kings are close to it. I mean, Fox is the only one. Fox and DeMarcus are the only two people to get a second contract in the last 16 years.
Rookie of the year didn't even get one.
Right. So you got to draft well to be able to do that, because I'm not saying that you should have gave Nick Stauskas a second contract. I'm not saying that. But, like, get some guys in here and let them establish themselves. Create some continuity within your franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And Davion is a big part of that.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. You brought up Harrison a minute ago. When you were talking about structure and De'Aaron getting attributed for saying, yeah, I want structure, really, like, the team desperately needs structure.
Mm-hmm.
You think back to that line with James in a post-season press conference where Harrison was asked about, you know, being consulted about the coach in the coaching search, and he's like, I don't think they're going to consult me. This isn't Harrison's vibe. Doesn't feel like Harrison's vibe. You think there's any chance he has to be traded?
Yeah, I think so. And if he did ask to be traded, he would have handled it like Harrison. Like, we wouldn't know.
Yeah,
you know,
but, right.
Handle it with class, with professionalism, and it'd be under the table. So, yeah, there's absolutely a chance for that. I think maybe he's looking at this new you know, the new coach and mm-hmm. everything that's going on, and you may look at it like, let me give this a chance. You know, I like Mike Brown. I know Mike Brown through different NBA circles. Actually, I know him from – he was there with the Warriors, right, when Harrison was there, 15 and 16? Because he's got all the championships, right?
Yeah, he's – no, I think he has two of them. I think he has two of the three. He might have missed Harrison.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he has two of the three championships.
Got you. Yeah.
Because I think he has three rings, one with San Antonio, and then I think he has the two Kevin Durant rings. Mm-hmm. So that has him missing one, right? Mm-hmm. The 15.
He missed the 2 years with Harrison, yeah. 15 and 16. But nonetheless, I mean, he's probably known him in NBA.
That's
circles.
Right. He took Luke Walton's place. Like, I think Mike Brown took Luke Walton's place, which that was a horrifying sentence to say out loud. I think Mike Brown took Walton's place.
Well, he did it again.
Now I feel horrible and I just want the show to end. That is just a terrible thing to say out loud. But I think that's when Luke Walton went to L.A., I think Mike Brown slid into that assistant chair. In any event, but the point being, it's not like he doesn't know Harrison Barnes is the point. It's not like Harrison Barnes doesn't know Mike Brown, regardless of whether they were together at Golden State or not. They obviously, you know each other, whether they've played for each other or not, different, but they obviously know each other.
Yeah.
I was just asking, like, I mean, Harrison is such a... It would be handled in the fashion of, it's like, hey, I know my deal's expiring. If there's an attractive offer out there, like, I don't appear to be a part of your future. I've done everything I could. I wouldn't blame him either.
No, not at all.
But
yeah.
I like Harrison, and I still believe there's a place on this team for Harrison, not just this year, but, like, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there's a massive upgrade for this team to make in Harrison Barnes's role. Like, I don't think there's one that can be made in Harrison Barnes's position. So
I like Harrison here in Sacramento and adding to this roster with Harrison Barnes. Is it feasible? Is it probable? I don't know. I gotta be honest with you, but if they can, obviously, I'd love for them to add to this roster with two or three pieces, with Harrison Barnes still there at the small forward spot. That would be perfect this offseason. When I mean add, I mean draft pick, free agent, maybe a trade. Like, if you could add two or three pieces,
yeah,
that'd be perfect.
Yeah. The obvious answer is yes. But we talked about, and you brought this up, the weight of the number four pick versus the number seven or the number eight. And the, you know, we could use the term weight. We could use the term expectations. With the weight of the fourth pick is, and I don't mean in hindsight, and I don't mean 5 years from now. I mean on draft day. Is there a wrong choice?
On draft day, I don't think so. There's for me personally, there are choices that I'll be more excited for than others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know.
Like, if we use the names that we talked about today, Keegan Murray's the one that would least excite you there
absolutely.
For. Or is Jaden Ivey? Would Jaden
no,
Ivey
it's
be?
No, Keegan.
It'd be Keegan. So it's, yeah. It'd be, again, and this is, if you're just tuning in, this is just the three names that we spent a great deal of time talking about today. Sharp 1, Ivey 2. Keegan Murray 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And it would least excite me, but you wouldn't hear me come on these airwaves.
It fits.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't hear me come on these airwaves or on my Twitter and talk about it was the wrong pick. Because mm-hmm. I could absolutely see a scenario where it works and it's beneficial for the team. And that's really all that matters is them getting a winning product out there. That's all I care about, is them getting a winning product out there. And I see a number of different scenarios where Keegan really helps this team. And like I said, he fits. He's a good ball player. I just, you know, I don't, we talk about upside and some of the things he can do on the court. I don't think he can do the things that Jaden and Jaden can do, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player or it'd be a bad pick for the Kings. I don't feel that way at all. So I don't think you can go wrong on draft day, in my opinion, with the pick.
Got to pull up that 2018 sound and See if anyone felt the same way.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that I did, by the way. I was firmly in the camp of the European kid.
I was okay with Bagley. With Luka too. I the person I wanted was Michael Porter Jr. But once I saw that wasn't going to happen, I was like, Luka would be cool too. So with Bagley.
You know who I really liked in that draft? I'm sure I told you this before. I mean, I thought Luka was the pick, and I don't remember what were the Kings were slotted at 8 that year. Yeah, so, I don't think I thought this guy would be there, but the guy that I really liked was Jaren Jackson Jr.
And that's the guy I liked the least.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought the top 4 or 5. I was like, I don't want to.
I thought, man, this is a defensive dude. Like, man, this could just be a solid pickup for it. Like, this could be a solid pickup for the squad. I still like Jaren Jackson Jr. Again, Trae Young, Luka Doncic. Like, we're out thinking the room here. But I did like Jaren Jackson in that draft. I liked him a lot.
But the funny thing was, once they got to 2, it was like, I can't take Trae at 2. Like, that's too high. Because I liked him throughout the season. And then that tailed off as the season went along.
Oh, yeah. There was a moment where Trae Young was the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. David always want to bring everything up. I said on my Twitter, team up Trae with De'Aaron by all cost. I don't care about the fit. You draft Trae Young. Yeah, I said it. Now, I didn't stay with the courage of my convictions as the season went along, but I did say it.
He just tapered off. Like, it was so weird. Like, the first half of his season was like one of the most electric things you'll see in college basketball. And then the second half was like, oh, he was ready to go to the draft. he didn't want to play at Oklahoma anymore. And I missed all the electrifying stuff.
And look, we know this tweet that I talk about is true because we talked about it on the show before, and that gave us the follow-up tweet of our guy saying, Frank Mason is who they
are. Oh, man. Oh, you can stumble across Twitter gold sometimes. My man said, did he say De'Aaron would be gone and Frank Mason is the future of the Sacramento Kings. Mark my words. Oh, that was good stuff. I know Dr. David is looking for that tweet right now. We need to relive that bad boy. Oh, that's good stuff. Appreciate y'all so much for being here. If you're on Twitch or YouTube or Facebook Live, hit the thumbs up before you go. Become a subscriber over there on Twitch. If you miss any part of the show and you're really just in the audio form, you're driving around a lot, it's all good, man. We're available on podcast. Jesse does a tremendous job of breaking our podcast into different forms, makes it easily consumable, including the entire 3.5-hour show. There's lots of great stuff over there. Just search D'Lo and KC in whatever podcast platform you prefer, including the Odyssey app, Google, and of course, Apple Music and Spotify. On Apple and Spotify, you can rate and review the show as well. We would appreciate it for those who are into podcasting if y'all could do that. And we'd appreciate it if you're back tomorrow. Bryant West, Kings Herald draft guru, going to be with us. Trista Crick scheduled to be with us. Kyle Mattson will be with us. James Hamm will be with us. We hope you will, too. Stick around. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2, Celtics and Heat. Coming up here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
I didn't have a go.
Go Celtics. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.